بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue with Surah Luqman inshallah with verse number 20. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
ألم تروا أن الله سخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وأسبغ عليكم نعمه ظاهرة وباطنة ومن الناس من يجادل في الله بغير علم ولا هدى ولا كتاب منير.
See you not, O men, that Allah has subjected for you whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth, and has completed and perfected His graces upon you, both apparent and hidden. Yet of mankind is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or a book giving light. After we spoke about the advice of Luqman and what he said to his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds mankind, haven't you seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected everything in the heavens and everything on the earth? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind mankind, haven't you seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything subjected to you? The sun with all its power and might and light and heat, it is subjected to serve you. It shines on you without burning you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected the moon for you to give you light at night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected the wind for you and the air for you and subjected the rain for you. And everything on this earth is subject for you, O mankind. It is for you to use and benefit from and enjoy, so you can live a good, peaceful life on this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He's reminding us, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Haven't you seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected everything in the heavens and everything on the earth for you? The trees you turn to pens, the sheep you eat from it and you make clothing from its skin. For what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing this? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds you again that He has completed and perfected His grace upon you. Well, isbagh, my brothers and sisters in Islam, al-isbagh is to cover something, is to cover someone with something. It's like when you pour water, a big bucket of water on someone, and then you saturate him from his head all the way to his toes with water, or you dip someone in a pool of water. That is al-isbagh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is reminding us, O mankind, O creation of Allah, O human beings, can't you see that Allah subjected everything for you? Can't you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered you with the blessings? Zahira, apparent, wa batina, inside of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us in apparent blessings like the pleasures of this world. Everything that you have, everything that you have, it's ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ni'mah that it should be appreciated by us. But we choose to turn our back and forget about it. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with health. And the only time you know how good is health and the ni'mah and the blessing of health is when you lose it. When you don't have it anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with children. And the only time you know how important are children to you is when you're not able to have children. The most important ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with is Islam. Your hijab, my sister, is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your practicing the Islam, my brother, is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An apparent ni'mah on you. How many people are being forbidden from this ni'mah? How many people are being deprived from this ni'mah? And this is an apparent ni'mah to you, my brother and my sister in Islam. And then, wal-batina, what is a ni'am al-batina? What is the hidden blessings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the most important ni'mah is iman. Is to believe in your heart in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. is to believe in his angels, is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loving Islam. This is all actions and ni'am in the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. And that is needed to be remembered all the time. That is a ni'mah inside your heart. How many people are being deprived from this ni'mah also? They believe in nothing. They believe in desire. They believe in money. They believe in material world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you and reminding everyone till the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered us and covered us with his blessings, apparent and hidden. And the people who've been given knowledge and wisdom and guidance, isn't there a ni'mah inside their heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge, said about it, the one who have knowledge and the one who do not have knowledge are not equal. And there is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it need to be remembered. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. Yet of mankind is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or a book giving light. Meaning, after all this ni'mah, after all these blessings, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave you so much blessings, you are able to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything in the heavens and on earth for you and subjected it for you. And he gave you so much blessings. Yet some people still argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they argue with what? With no knowledge, nor guidance, nor kitab munir, nor a clear book that gives light. Yani truthful book, truthful words. The ones who argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about deen al-Islam, all what they argue with is assumptions, doubts. They're not firm on anything. While we say we have a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have kitabun munir, the Quran, how can you argue with it whilst you know that these words, it cannot be from a creation? So we have two types of people who argue about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who are kuffar and argue about the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people who are Muslims who argue to reject some of the commandments of Islam. And this is a great dangerous misguidance. As the first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ وَجَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا وَإِن يَرَوْا كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوكَ يُجَادِلُونَكَ يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. This is the first type who dispute and argue about the verses of Allah. Ah, the kuffar. And of them, there are some who listen to you. Some of those kuffar who listen to Allah to the words of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning they listen to the Quran. But we have set veils on their hearts, so they understand it not, and deafness in their ears. And even if they see every one of those ayat, they will not believe therein, to the point that when they come to you to argue with you, the disbelievers say, there is nothing but tales of the men of old. So what do they say? They listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting the Quran. They listen to him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set a veil in their hearts. Their hearts are covered. They cannot understand the Quran. It doesn't affect them, the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed and covered their ears and caused deafness in their ears. Shuf, subhanallah, they can hear it, but as if they are deaf, they're listening to nothing. And then, if they see every proof, O Muhammad, you're going to bring them. And if you bring any miracle you're going to show them, and any lesson and any sign that you bring, they still turn their back. Until when they come to you, Muhammad, they will dispute and argue with you, and they say, everything you say, it's a story that you inherited and the old people used to say. Isn't it the case with so many people who reject Islam today? They read the Quran, they listen to the Quran, they see, they can, sometimes some of them, they see the truth, But out of arrogance and kibir, they turn their back and they say, no, we don't want to listen to you anymore. And what you're saying is fairy tales, we don't believe in it. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in another verse. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَاهُمْ إِنْ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ إِلَّا كِبْرٌ مَا هُمْ بِبَالِغِيهِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Verily those who dispute about the ayat of Allah without any authority having come to them, there is nothing else in their breasts except pride. They will never have it. So seek refuge in Allah. Verily, it is He who is the all-hearer, the all-seer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He's telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who argue against the ayat of Allah with no authority, with no ilm, with no knowledge, there is nothing in their breast except pride. Their breast is full of pride. And we spoke about last week about pride. Because of pride, they rejected and they argue the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they said, they will never have it, i.e. the prophethood which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. So they argue, so they can become يعني, like you. And here he said, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from arrogance and pride. So the lesson in this verse, every one of us should seek refuge from arrogance and pride. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-hearer and the all-seer. So all those people who are kuffar and argue against the verses of Allah and disputing against the verses of Allah, you find most of them don't have except assumptions and doubt, and they have no authority, meaning they have no knowledge, they have nothing to argue with and no basis for their argument except assumptions, maybe this, maybe that, I doubt this, I doubt that, when we have in our hands a clear book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is some people within the Islamic circle who argue the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they do not implement them in their life out of arrogance and out of rejecting the haqq. Like someone, for example, says, the issue, for example, of hijab, a sister would say, I do not want to wear hijab. The hijab is really inside my heart. But when you say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and they say to you, oh, maybe it is not authentic. When you say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded us and the wives of the companions wore the hijab, and the hijab has a certain way to be worn, not hijab inside the heart. That's something else. When you say that, then they want to argue the hadith. They say, maybe this hadith is not authentic. Subhanallah. If the scholars of Islam said it's authentic, who are you to come now and say it is not authentic? Something ajib, something is, makes you wonder that people reject the ilm, reject the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just because it doesn't suit their whims and desires. They reject it and put it aside. While the scholars who are specialized in that field, they told you this hadith is authentic. But yet, with arrogance, we choose to argue and reject the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, with no knowledge. And these are the worst of people, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
And when it is said to them, follow that which Allah has sent down, they say, nay, we shall follow that which we found our fathers following, even if Shaitan invites them to the torment of the fire. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us about their hal, their ways. After they argue and they put out false arguments, Allah said, and when it's said to them, come to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, come to the Quran, follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what would they reply with? We will follow what we have found our forefathers doing. And this answer is repeated in every age and in every era. It is not something new. The people will always say, this is our ways, this is how we grew up, this is how we know things to be, so we're going to continue like this. The matter here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's a blind following. Blind following what makes you comfortable. Blind following what keeps you within the comfortable box that you live in. People do not want to get out and break away from the box they live in. Their forefathers have designed frame and they put him inside this frame. They are enjoying and comfortable living inside this box and inside this frame. They do not want to leave it. And the excuse is repeated. Since the day of Nuh when he came to stop shirk, all the way till today, till this moment, or many of the people that you give them da'wah to Islam, they would say, we prefer to stay and follow our forefathers. Tayyib, I give you an example. As you see today, the war against the hijab. What is the main conflict about the hijab? Because the hijab, it is something different for them. It is not the way of their forefathers. Of course, today when they talk about the niqab covering the face, it is only the first step for total ban of the hijab. To remove the hijab, which is a sign and a milestone of Islam. They start slowly. First the niqab, give it another 10-15 years, then remove the hijab off your head altogether. We reject the hijab. Isn't there some countries today who have implemented that in their universities? Tayyib. So the issue here, what is the excuse? It is not from our values. It is not from our system. Because the hijab itself is a da'wah to others to come to Islam. It is a da'wah to come for people to come to Islam. That's what we say. For a sister who wearing hijab, fear Allah. You're a da'iyah now, whether you like it or not. You are a da'iyah to Islam, even if you don't know how to speak. Even if you are mute, you're a da'iyah to Islam. People look at you, they see Islam. People look at the brother with the bead, they see Islam. People hear about your name is Muhammad and Ahmad and Abdullah, they hear Islam. So when you present, you are presenting Islam to the people. And because it is sign of Islam and they have enmity against Islam, because Islam came to change the way of their forefathers, they know by removing the signs of Islam, then they're removing the threat of changing the way of their forefathers. These are the ways of our forefathers. And we want to continue following the ways of our forefathers. They do not call it the ways of our forefathers. They call it our values. They have a nice political name to it. The shaitan has decorated the name to it and called it values. This is our values. And these are your Arab Bedouin values are rejected. The hijab is an Arab Bedouin value that is rejected. And this is how they want to suppress Islam. And this call, it's not something new. A lot of us as Muslims, we wonder to ourselves, we say, why are they doing this? But what we forget is that this has been happening since Nuh, he said to his people, leave the shirk. It's been happening all the time. It's just every age and every era, it takes a different shape. That's all the difference. There is different shape in different ways, but the reality, it's there. Because the main motivator, the main inciter for this is the chief of all deceivers, Shaitan. That's what it is. And that struggle will continue till the day of the judgment. Whether we like it as Muslims or not, whether we compromise or not, it will keep going. Because this is the sunnah. This is how Allah created the world to run. Party in Jannah and party in Jahannam. We accept it We accepted. We tried to compromise and say, yes, today we'll remove the niqab and today we'll do that. Tomorrow going to tell you move the hijab altogether. And mark my word, because this is history. And anyone who turns away from the history of the prophets and the history of Islam and the history of the world, how it runs, he will not understand the future and the present. And that's why, my brothers and sisters in Islam, studying the stories of the prophets thoroughly, don't do it just so you can listen to a fairy tale and a story like you watch a movie. No, do it with an open heart, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he said in the Quran about the previous nations, he did not say it so he can entertain us and as a mean of entertainment and passing time. No, it is for us so we can learn lessons of what happened, because the same thing is repeated in every age and every century and every era. Subhanallah al-Azim. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, would they do so even if Shaitan invites them to the torment of the fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, in the mean of mocking them and belittling them, he is saying to the meaning, would they follow them even if their forefathers were misguided? Meaning, you've seen your forefathers are misguided. You've seen those values don't work. You've seen that those forefathers are misguided, and you still want to follow them? You still want to say, use them as an excuse and follow footsteps of misguidance? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, it is the shaitan who's calling them to Jahannam, using the footsteps of their forefathers as an excuse and a mean for them to go to Jahannam. That is the reality of the matter. So you want to follow them even if they were misguided. Regardless, as long as you follow something and not follow the haqq, the truth, Islam. Just anything. And in this verse also, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it is applicable to some Muslims today who, when you invite them to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you warn them from innovation, what most of them would say? But I've seen my father doing that, my grandfather. Now you're going to go against what my father and my grandfather has taught me? This is exactly within the Islamic circle, it's repeated. But my father used to pray in such a way. My father used to do mawlids and all that. My grandfather used to do it. So now, how come you're different? But we say, is your father and your grandfather and your grand-grandfather an authority in Islam? Were they ulama of Islam? Where did your father and your grandfather get this from? Or from his grand-grandfather? Tayyib, are they authority in Islam? Are they ulama of Islam? Are they the ulama of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How do we know that things did not change with time? Let's then go back to the Quran and the sunnah and the understanding of our predecessors, the three best generation, about these issues that we differ. You'll find they have a different opinion and they hold a different opinion than the one you have and you carry with you. So how many of our brothers and sisters in Islam, they just do that? They just say, we'll follow the way of our forefathers. I've seen my father pray in such a way. Khalas, this is the correct way. Without checking and going back to the source of knowledge, so we can correct our way and so we do not fall into the diseases other nations and other people have fallen into. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَمَن يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ.
And whosoever submits his face to Allah while he is a muhsin, then he has grasped to the most trustworthy handhold, and to Allah return all matters for decision. Here he said that whomever purifies his deen and he is sincere with it and follows the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sharia, whilst he is a true believer and have a strong iman with a clear intention, indeed he has grasped to the most trustworthy handhold. So the one who follows Islam with sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is sincere with his deeds, and he obeys Allah and his sharia, whilst he is a true believer in his heart with a true pure intention to Allah, He is the one who is holding to the trustworthy handhold. Al-urwatul wuthqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another verse, He explained it in a little bit of a different way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 256, لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. Whoever disbelieves in طاغوت وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ and believes in Allah, then he فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا. Then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is the all-hearer, the all-knower. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you surrender yourself to Allah, when you disbelieve in the taghut, in every false deity beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you indeed grasp the most trustworthy handhold. Meaning, the word la ilaha illallah, the word la ilaha illallah. La ilaha, there is no deity worthy of worship. You have disbelieved in taghut, because every deity worshipped beside Allah is a taghut. And then you say, illallah, you affirmed the iman to Allah and the ubudiyya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have grasped the most trustworthy handhold. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. And all of you, hold on to the robe of Allah, which is the Quran and the Sunnah, and do not differ. And I want you to imagine this. Imagine someone is drowning, and then a helicopter comes over him, and they reel down a rope to him. He holds on to it, and then the chopper lifts him out of the water. I want you to see that person, how hard he will be holding to this rope. And even if he can bite on it with his molar teeth, he would do so. Subhanallah al-Azim. See here, my brothers and sisters in Islam. When you hold on to the Quran and you hold on to the Sunnah and you are sincere, you grasp this most trustworthy handhold. This way, you are saved from Jahannam. So be sincere with your action. Be sincere with your Islam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be sincere with your following the Sunnah. And love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do something, do not do it except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other day, subhanallah, I was reading that one of the students of the companions, the students of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was giving a sadaqah to a blind man. He was putting him some dessert in a plate. And then he was decorating the dessert. A man said to him, why are you decorating the dessert? He's a blind man. He's just going to eat it. You know what he replied and said? Subhanallah al-Azim. What a beautiful answer. He said, I'm not giving him the food so he can see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's seeing the food. Even though the man is blind, but this person, this student of the companion, he knows that when he is giving the food, Allah is seeing him and he wants to present his sadaqah in the best way possible. This is when you are totally sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been narrated that Aisha radiyallahu anha, when she used to give the dirham, at times she used to perfume the dirham. One of the girls said to her, Ya Aisha, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, why do you perfume the dirham? She said to her, because I know it's going to fall in the hand of Allah. She said, subhanallah. Because, khalas, the dealing is not with people anymore. Everything that you do not look at the people anymore. You look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look that you are doing this for the sake of Allah. It's not for the sake of anyone anymore. With this, you have purified your iman. You have purified yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have held to the most trustworthy handhold. Al-urwatul wuthqa. Lanfisama laha. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another verse, that will never break. It will never break. Which is the rope of Tawheed, the rope of Islam, the rope that will pull you out of Jahannam. and lowers you into Jannah, insha'Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything shall return. After all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to his prophet,
وَمَن كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنكَ كُفْرُهُ إِلَيْنَا مَرْجِعُهُمْ فَنُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ نَضْطَرُّهُمْ إِلَى عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ.
And whoever disbelieves, let not his disbelief grieve you, O Muhammad, to us is their return, and we shall inform them of what they have done. Verily Allah is the all-knower of what is in the breast of men. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to every one of us, that if you gave da'wah to a person, and you have called people to Quran, and you called them to the sunnah, and they still turn their back on you, then be sad. Do not let it grieve you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another verse, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. And let not those grieve you, O Muhammad, who rush with haste to disbelief. إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Verily not the least harm will they do to Allah. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. It is Allah's will to give them no proportion in the hereafter. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them there is a great torment. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in another verse to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whomever turns away, do not let him make you sad. Don't grieve for them, because they will not harm Allah, nor they harm the religion of Allah, and they cannot cause any harm except for themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not want to give him share in the hereafter, and they have great torment. So don't grieve, don't be sad about them. If they decided to turn away after they have seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and earth and subjected the heavens and earth for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them his signs in the heavens and on the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them that the Quran is a unique book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true, and they still turn their back, khalas, do not be sad. You've done everything you could. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who gives them the hidayah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not will for them, then there is nothing you can do. No matter how much you do ta'wah, no matter what you do, they're not going to believe. Because of many reasons. And one of the highest of reasons is pride and arrogance. So do not let them grieve you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another verse, he was telling his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, his heart is full of mercy. Like all the prophets, his heart is full of mercy. And what used to make Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worry is his ummah. Ummati, ummati. He would always say, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that pleading for us, ummati, ummati. On the day of judgment, he will plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his ummah. And also, he used to worry about those who turn their back from Allah, and the ones who turn their back from the religion of Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as a condolences to him and to us, he said, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. Is he then to whom the evil of his deed is made fair seeming? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is one, their evil deeds and the wrong they are doing, it seems to them, it is good and fair, so that he considers it as good, meaning that he made his deeds fair to him, and he considers it to be good. That evil deed, he considers it to be good and fair. Then he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah sends astray whomever he wills and guides whom he wills. Meaning that these people, because they thought their deeds are good deeds, where in the reality there are evil deeds, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he misguides whomever he wills, and he guides whomever he wills. فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتِ. And then he said to him, so destroy not yourself, O Muhammad, in sorrow for them. So do not grieve. Do not feel sorrow towards them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to guide them. Why? Because they don't want to be guided to begin with. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ Truly Allah is all knower of what they do. So as you see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He ordered us that do not let their kufr saddens you. You try your best to give them da'wah, to guide them, to clarify things for them, but if they don't want to, and if they reject to accept and follow, then do not grieve, and do not be sad, and do not worry. Khalas, you've done what you needed to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guides whomever He likes, and He misguides whomever He likes. The bottom line, it is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do the best that you can do, and then whatever is left, it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why in the verse in Surah Luqman, He said, إِلَيْنَا مَرْجِعُهُمْ فَنُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا To us, they shall return, and we will inform them of what they have done. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform them of what they have done. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ Indeed, Allah is knowing of what's in the breast. So because of that pride and arrogance they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never guided them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that on the Day of Judgment, He will inform them that you were not guided because of the arrogance you have in your heart, because of that evil you had in your heart. That's why you were never guided to Islam. And only Allah knows what the heart conceals. And here He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the following verse, نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ نَضْطَرُّهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ We let them enjoy for a little while, then in the end, we shall oblige them to enter a great torment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in this dunya, we're going to give them an enjoyment, a good life. Live it. Live this life. Enjoy this life. Have fun in this life. But know that this enjoyment that you are living, it's only for a short time and a short period of time. Because the real joy is in Jannah. And the real torment and hardship is in Jahannam. No matter how hard is your life, it's only for a small time. And no matter how good is your life, it's going to be a small time. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the person who has lived a beautiful life in this dunya, a joyous life, a life full of extravagance, whilst he is a kafir, he'll be taken and dipped one dip in Jahannam, and he will be said to him, have you ever seen a good time ever? He would say, Ya Allah, I am in torment since the day I was created. So that joy he had in his life, it's all abolished, as if he never enjoyed it. And a person from the poorest countries, who lived the harshest of life and the hardest of life, and he is a believer, he'll be taken on the Day of Judgment and dipped one dip in Jannah, and then be taken out and asked this question, have you ever seen harshness in your life? Have you ever seen hardship in your life? He said, Wallahi, I am in na'im, in blessings, since the day you created me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear for us that this joy of this dunya, no matter how long it lasts, it's only little. And it's not a true joy. Because no matter how much you're enjoying in this life, the kafir will always have in the back of his mind, what if I get sick? What if I get ill? What if I die? How can I take insurances? How can I take insurance that I don't get sick? How can I enjoy my life to the fullest? Always worrying about that. That worry turns the joy into hardship. And that's why a lot of the rich people and the famous people who have everything in this world end up committing suicide. Because they become psychologically ill. Because the real joy, and there is no complete joy except in Jannah. Why? Because you know that you're never going to leave it. You're going to be in it forever. And you're not going to get sick. There is no worry in the Jannah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا We give you a little bit of a joy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then we force them. Then we force, ثُمَّ نَضْطَرُّهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ To a great torment. Ghaliz means thick and harsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we shall oblige them. Forcefully they will enter Jahannam. Of course, they were living an affluent, extravagant life. When they see Jahannam and the torment of Jahannam, they will never be able to bear it. Subhanallah al-Azim. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
And if you, Muhammad, ask them, who has created the heavens and the earth? They will certainly say Allah. Say all the praise and thanks to be to Allah, but most of them know not. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is using another proof. After he spoke about that he subjected the heavens and the earth to them, and he covered them full of blessings, external and internal blessings. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they still refuse and they follow the footsteps of forefathers. He said about them, if you were to ask them, and this is as the bottom of the argument, who created the heavens and earth? They will say Allah. The kuffar of Quraysh used to say Allah. And most of the kuffar today believe in Allah. They believe that there is a great power that created everything. Even the Darwinists themselves are split into two schools. The classical Darwinists, who still deny the existence of a power that created everything. The modern ones, they believe that there is a power that created everything. But they refuse to know what it is and to follow the guidance that sent to them, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they physically, and through the science of physics, they believed there has to be a beginning for this world. And this beginning has to be from something apart and different from this world, and separate from this world. But they still, out of arrogance, refuse to find out what it is, and to follow the guidance that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is saying that if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would say Allah. Meaning, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is what we call Tawheed al-Rububiyyah in the science of Tawheed. Tawheed of Lordship. And we say one of the proofs of Tawheed of Lordship, al-Rububiyyah, fitrah, natural tendency. Allah created the creation to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation with an instinct that there is a Lord who created this world and he deserves to be worshipped. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known when he said the child will be born on the fitrah, natural tendency, which is tawheed. His parents turn him to a Jew or a Christian or a fire worshipper. So people are born believing in Allah. Your da'wah is to clean up that fitrah and to show him that there is a Lord. He wants you to worship him. As in another hadith Qudsi, خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, meaning in the hadith al-Qudsi, I created my slaves hunafa, meaning on tawheed, monotheism. فَاجْتَالَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The shayateen have made them go astray from that aqidah, from that belief. So as you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the problem between you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those kuffar of Quraysh, it is not about who created the heavens and earth. It is about why are you worshipping other than Allah? You believe in Allah. You believe that He is the creator. You believe that He is the sustainer, owner of this world. So why do you worship someone else? Where is the logic that you have? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent so much blessings upon you. And you know it's not the idols. And you know it is Allah who sent all these blessings upon you. So why are you turning your back from worshipping Allah? Our problem with the kuffar really is worship Allah alone. Direct all types of worship to Allah and obey Allah. He is the only one should be obeyed in every affair of your dunya, your life. And that is the key of success. And then here he said, they would say Allah, they will say to you, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, He is the creator. And then he said, Say Alhamdulillah, Muhammad, say Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah, at least they testified against themselves. Say Alhamdulillah that you are on the haqq. Say Alhamdulillah for so many blessings. And say Alhamdulillah for the blessing of knowledge. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Because most of them have no knowledge. So we should say Alhamdulillah for this great blessing of knowledge, because most of them, they do not have that knowledge. Another verse before we stop.
لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ
And to Allah is whatever in the heavens and the earth, and verily Allah, He is Al-Ghani, rich, free of all needs, worthy of all praise. So to Allah, everything that is in the heavens and earth, even you and me, the kafir and the Muslim, the tyrant, the oppressor and the oppressed, everything to Allah. So you cannot escape. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. He is a free of all the needs in this world. And He does not need you. So when you worship Him, you're not going to increase His wealth. And if you turn your back, you're not going to decrease His wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-ghani, worthy of all praise. Al-Hamid. Whether you praise Him or you do not, He will always be worthy of all praise. Your praise is not going to make Him praiseworthy, because He is praiseworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praiseworthy anyway, regardless whether you praise Him or not. And this is to seal with the lesson of today. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. May Allah reward you for your attention. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. If there is any question, we'll take it. Otherwise, inshallah, we'll stop at this.